Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody. I'm here with my co-host.
Ollie Presenter, otherwise known as the Moo Cow Moo, everybody, and I got the monkey too.
Oh, he's got the monkey. All right, I think we're gonna need him. In a little bit, but right now we have our special guest here, Rimaku. How you doing, Rimaku?
Yay!
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good. We're really excited to have you back.
And you
I'm glad to
survived
be back.
Damon Packard's movie, I mean, Reflections of Evil. How did you survive that?
I wouldn't necessarily call it survival. I would call it like a permanent state of sad limbo.
Well, you're missing at least 75 pairs of headphones on, so
Well, we realized that Ramaka, we've had you on for every season so far. Like since season three. So season three on, you've been a staple of our show. So thank
Hey.
you. You know, you're always pretty much down to be on the show. So that's really wonderful. We love that.
Yeah, I love
That's
it. It's fun.
it's fun.
Yay.
But before we get into that, we're gonna talk about the movie that we all watched separately and endured is called Robot Ninja. And if you know us here at Indie Film Cafe, season three, we introduced the world to Zombie Cop. What is it? Season seven has to have Robot Ninja eventually. I knew I was eventually going to do it. I thought I might torture Lila with it again, but I don't know. I don't think she'd trust me
Rats
after.
through all the movies that J.R. Bookwater, doesn't like and disowns.
So I felt like, yeah, and I think there's a lot. So, but we got Rimaku here, which I think will give us a different perspective too. So I'm really excited.
Absolutely.
But before then, let's listen to some
Mood
mood
music.
music. And we're back. All right. So, here we are to discuss Robot Ninja, which I'm gonna give you a little background. This movie was directed by, as Paul stated, J.R. Buckwalter, who directed Zombie Cop and Maximum Impact and a bunch of other movies, Chick Boxer, and
Tempe, baby.
he created Tempe Entertainment, then he later is now doing Make Flicks, which is pretty cool. And he's mostly a distributor now. I saw an interview where he said that he did not want to, he sort of wanted to get away from directing the movies that he was making for like Full Moon and whatnot kind of destroyed him in a way where they aren't really being made now. They're being made much cheaper. And so he doesn't mind distributing those movies. He just doesn't want to make them. Like, he wants to make stuff bigger. I think the last movie he did was a movie called Mega Scorpion, which we'll eventually do on the show, I'm sure.
Nice.
Then it was so it was written and directed by him. This was not his idea, though. It was David Dakota's idea.
Really?
So David Dakota, of another filmmaker, indie filmmaker, who usually does LGBTQ movies because he's gay himself, so he does a lot of those. Usually they're like shirtless dudes all over the place. Paul
13,
wants
13 Sasquatch Island,
or Bigfoot Island,
Bigfoot Island,
or Cougar Cult, which it was more about the guys that had no shirts on than it was about the women, because
so
that's
much
just,
fun.
his style. But he was approached by JR about working together, and originally they were going to produce some of JR's friends' movies. Fortunately, those didn't happen, and they couldn't figure out what to do. So David said, "Why don't you do a movie called Robot Ninja? That'll, kind of get some
As you
attention,
do.
right?" And JR hates robots and hates ninjas. So he had no real interest in doing this, but he was a big comic book fan, as we can tell from the movie. And he wanted to do a movie about, comic book stuff and everything.
And I've got to say, he had to have been a RoboCop fan because this movie was RoboCop all
This
over.
movie was RoboCop if RoboCop didn't have any robo on him at all. You know,
Roboless.
he was
Roboless
Roboless.
cop.
Roboless cop. That's
And I also have to say, there was a little bit of Godfrey Ho in this as well. And sort of his robo ninja garbage or robo vampires and just all kinds of weird stuff that he likes to throw in.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. I don't know if he even knew who Godfrey Ho was when he was making it, but
80s, I'm
maybe
sure he saw them. And those that stuff used to be all over the place in the VHS stores in the way back years.
no. So, Romaku, this is your first time watching. Paul and I had seen it before this. What was your first initial reaction?
I just have one question.
Sure. Why? Why was this movie made, or like?
Why everything? Why
Okay.
everything, really? Well, like
Why are we made out of
it.
tubes?
That's not how any of this works. This, I mean, I get that, but like it, arteries, tubes, it.
I had a theory that somewhere along the line, our hero turned into Robot Ninja
That's what I felt.
for the space of a minute and a half, and then came back.
And
It's my only explanation.
there was so much that just didn't make sense. The only thing
It
that made sense was the world's worst copping.
yeah, it yeah. By people names who are cherished by beloved people who are big fans of filmmakers, and everything. There's a Cameron there, there's James Cameron there, there's a Hickox, there's all these great names and everything. They're all,
De
officers of
Palma, Spinelli, O'Bannon.
yeah, some of them were bad guys too. They used the names for the bad guys. They just named,
Good night was my favorite name.
which one?
Good night.
Good night.
Yep. And you noticed
Just so they could have that line.
Linnea Quigley was Miss Barbeau.
Yeah, but the one line is like, good night," and I was like, "Oh my God."
It was the same line that he said in the beginning, though. The main
Yeah,
character
it's
said that.
true. Yeah, I forgot he actually said that in the beginning too. Holy shit.
Yes, an inventor who just does nothing but invents things
Well, he's a doctor.
that doesn't really happen.
He's a doctor. That's what doctors do.
They invent
Yeah.
stuff.
They invent
Build
stuff.
me shit. Oh, okay.
All right. So, I guess real quick we can go into the story. Does anyone want to, kind of summarize what happened in this movie?
Sure, I can do it.
Ramaku, go ahead.
All right, so there's this guy, right? And he's a comic book artist, but he doesn't like how they've been doing a comic to TV adaptation of his character, and he's just generally unhappy. And then he bears witness to a very graphic, very, very bad, no good at all crime, and he wants to help save the people who are being harmed. He fails horribly a lot. And then he's like, golly, gee willikers, I sure did hate that, and decides to become his comic book character in order to prevent it from happening again. A mission which he fails most of the time.
Vigilantism's not easy.
Yeah, it ain't easy being so
Cheesy?
cool. I was gonna say, yeah,
It works in the
cheesy.
comic books.
It worked in the comic. Oh yeah, and that's another thing that I noticed is he writes, he like predicts exactly what's going to happen before it happens, but then when things start to deviate, he just loses his mind about it, and not a vibe, as they say.
Yep,
He takes a lot of L's and not a lot of dubs,
he's not very
frankly.
smart. Let's put it that way.
He's not the best superhero
No.
that we and we've had some pretty bad superheroes. Remember we had that Black Cougar
Oh,
one that we
God, we
did,
have to show
and
you Black Cougar. It was amazing. He has this army of tiny little toys that he winds up and lets loose, and they're all terrible.
Yes,
Jeez.
this is real. And so we've seen some pretty bad ones, but I think this guy's the worst because like he's just inept in every way. And
Worse
yet,
than Corn Man?
I don't know. I think Corman at least knew what he was doing most of the
Yeah,
time.
Corn Man and Butter Boy were a better superhero group.
I mean, I get sort of not making him like the typical hero that always saves the day or something like that, but like what I originally thought this movie was going to be was it was going to be RoboCop, but with a ninja like thing twist to it, so that he had armor on, but the dude, I don't even think had a bulletproof vest on or anything. Like he had nothing.
No, which is why, several times the bad guys have the opportunity to just shoot him and kill him, but they don't because they realize that would be the end of the movie. So
Yeah, that would be pretty much it if
they
they.
just smack him instead.
I know. Some of the worst fighting too in this movie, just awful fight choreography,
Yeah,
but
and
it's
the dialogue was bad. I just people don't really talk like that.
interestingly enough, this is same came out the same year as Batman,
Which Batman?
1989,
Oh, okay.
the Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman. So can you imagine Robot Ninja and Batman being like right next to each other in the, video stores?
Jeez, I can't. Honestly, I was surprised by how good some of those shots were, though. Like, I was genuinely shocked.
There were some good shots, and even though some of the special effects were kind of crappy, some of them were very, very convincing and very good, done on the cheap and in a sort of practical way that's not really done anymore. And, kind of have to based on your budget. But I was convinced, like the part where he's got the gun in the guy's eye, that was pretty impressive and gross.
Yeah.
That was nasty.
But then some of the other special effects were awful.
Yes. So it was a
Yes.
mixed bag. Yeah.
I also was just very impressed by the fact that the comics were so good as they were like drawn, all the
Comics
art.
were
And
great.
I felt like most of the budget must have gone to special effects and to paying whoever the heck drew all that.
Which makes me wonder, is there like a real Robot Ninja comic out there? I wonder,
And it's very interesting because, from what I remember about this film, J.R. Buchholter didn't like it and, kind of disowned it for a while. But then I went and read that he, now that it got re-released on Blu-ray, he was okay with it because he felt that it cleaned up the lighting. But there were some issues with the lighting that I personally had, especially like in the junkyard area where all the
Yes.
light is coming from obviously either a car or a light, on the side. It's not coming down. It should be coming down. Instead, it's coming from the side, so the shadows are wrong. Even though it looked kind of cool, the light just it just the angles threw me off. So I
Well,
don't know.
this was his second film. Like his first film was The Dead Next Door, which
Dead
got
Next
more
Door,
attention.
which is fun. I liked it.
I
I have
yeah, and it.
found something. Sorry.
You go ahead.
There is a comic book adaptation of the movie itself that's drawn super well.
Nice.
So they just turned the movie itself into an official comic book adaptation.
That's awesome.
I don't know who drew those things at the beginning, but they were really good. I was very impressed.
They should have done, and today's thing they would do is they would market it that way. They would make the comic first, put it out there, then say we made an adaptation of the comic, and stuff. And that's actually pretty smart if you think about it.
They could bring out the whole robo part of him because they don't really do that. That's pretty missing from his
Well, they
character.
put like little things, like little metal things into like his knees or something, and I'm like,
That makes
what?
him robo.
That makes him robo, and
Well, this guy
so
put a metal thing into his arm.
yeah, this
He sure
yeah,
did.
and
The
he's got the
real
little,
guy. Like, not the character, the real guy. And I'm like, the hell's this guy doing? And Al?
That was nasty.
See,
The part with the tube, that was probably that's probably the one scene that most people are like not understanding at all. That's why I
It's
was
like,
like, did he turn
that's
into
not
his
how
character?
arteries work.
Yeah.
Well, he can't turn into his character because Because later he talks to, talks to everybody, whatever. Unless, are you talking about at the end of the movie where like he comes into the Dr. Goodnight stuff, or is that like when he was being made? I don't really.
No, it's the time when he treats his own injury by putting in plastic tubing for his veins.
Yeah, so he's trying to really,
That's not going to work. Like even a like a grade school education is going to know that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So the only explanation I have is that momentarily he phased into another reality and became his character for real, because that might be something that a robotic creature might try to do and might work. But a
Yeah,
real human being, it's not gonna work.
because those bad guys found out like he was human. They thought he really was trying to be like a robot, or whatever. And then they're like, oh, wait, what does a robot scream in pain? When does a robot bleed? Like,
Because all our experience with robots makes it very different.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Siri doesn't bleed, or whatever. That'd
I
be
mean,
scary if she did.
and it's 1989, so basically we're talking about Casios and, stuff like
Oh,
that.
what
The
there,
Atari. Atari.
or was it the robot? Like Teddy Ruxpin was sort of a robot, so that's the closest thing to like a robot like we would know.
Man, if Tutty Ruxpin Ninja
That?
had been in this, it would have been
Was
awesome.
that?
Teddy who? What's that?
You never heard of Teddy Ruxpin? It was a little bear. It's a teddy bear that sang to you. He was like a robot thing. They'll go to start singing.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. Some people think of it as kind of scary, but I never had one.
Oh man, that sounded like a lot of regret there, Mr. Moody.
You know what? I'm okay. I don't think I even asked for one ever. As a kid, like I just I
So it was
saw
in
them. I
your
thought they were
heart,
cute,
you
but
wanted one all the time.
in my heart.
Sorry, you
I
got
had
your
my
money.
pet monster. He was my baby. He
Yeah,
still
but that's
is.
the thing you asked Santa for, and Santa never gave it to you. So that's how you lost your childhood innocence, Teddy Ruxpin. Fucking
Oh
Santa.
God, Santa always gave me what I wanted, but I always was a little bitch about it. So,
Oh my God.
I was the worst. I was the worst child I'm, ever. It was terrible. But to go back to this movie, now, I mean, to go into like talk about the difference between this and like later he did Zombie Cop, just the differences, the really nasty things he did there that just didn't work for that movie, he didn't do for this. He
Right.
didn't do
The
anything like,
casual racism, you mean?
which that was pretty bad. Ramaka, we did Zombie Cop, and I did it with Lila and her friend Bobby, and we reviewed it, and I watched it with them, not remembering most of the stuff. And there
Oopsie.
is a scene with a guy who was the writer of the film, by the way, in an actual towel on his head. Just
At a
talking like
convenience
he was
store,
a poo from, Simpsons.
like much more broadly awful.
Yeah.
Ew.
And I, yeah. And so there, I was, when I was watching this, I was like, thank God that stuff's like that kind of stuff, kind of humor isn't in this
And
movie.
what you're leaving out is that our friend has a Middle Eastern background.
Why would you stereotype your own people, though?
Oh, no. I'm saying like my friend who watched it with me.
Oh.
So my friend who watched it with me was watching this and was like kind of really pissed, like
I would have been too.
I know. We've realized like a lot of like the 80s had a lot of like nasty racism jokes that
No
in the
kidding.
80s and early 90s that just are just gross and disturbing now, to look at it.
It's gotten a lot better since then, thank goodness. I would have not been happy to be alive in the
Yeah.
80s as a person of color. Definitely would not have vibed with that. And I really didn't vibe with a lot of the representation of people like me.
until fairly recently. So like it's gotten better a little bit.
Got a long way to go.
But that sort of stuff, thank God, it's unacceptable.
Right.
Like that's the stuff that deserves to get you canceled.
Yeah. And I mean, I think they pretty much they disowned the film. Like the writer and director disowned that film when they started realizing how like I mean, how just gross it was, I guess, you know. But at that time, I think because of stuff like The Simpsons and other things, they thought, you know, people would be okay with it, I guess, but really, no.
And it's just stupid, cheap, lazy humor, lazy writing. It's not funny. It's just,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Anything that's funny at the expense of another person for something that they can't help at all is not funny at all.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And I mean, you don't even need it in there. It didn't like serve the purpose of the film.
Well, and it's
So.
weird because for whatever reason, this movie decides to throw in what it thinks are humorous moments. I'm not exactly sure why. Like the rival comic book guy, that guy who
Oh,
was,
Scott Spiegel.
oh, I
yeah,
found him hilarious. I'm
he
sorry.
was funny. I just don't sure why they put that in there with the rest of the movie so dark and violent.
Well, because it
Added
was a
comic
threat at
relief.
one point for him to like know like so he can find somebody else that can do just the same thing he can do, you know, and everything. Like I was just in a conversation with them today, you know, right? You
That guy
know,
was a funny actor, though. He was my favorite person in the whole series.
so we reviewed a movie called Thou Shalt Not Kill Except, which actually had Scott Spiegel, and Scott Spiegel co-wrote and produced that film. And this was more of his, like, this is more of his Three Stooges type acting, where he's like over the top, kind of, you know, using his very high pitched voice and stuff like that, because it's funny, the nasally voice is sort of funny to everybody. So I love seeing him in there. I
And
was just
then
like, yeah.
you look at
I
the
just liked the
comic.
way that he acted and the way that he was like speaking.
And then, you know, you look at the comic itself and it's just scribbles. And Burt Ward is
Yes.
acting like, oh, yeah, this is our next artist. Like,
All
yeah.
those
Well,
emotions for scribbles.
he also, you could tell that Burt Ward, who played Robin in the Batman and Robin stuff, was looking down at that going, ooh. But he's like, this is the only other person we've got right now that can, I
Right.
guess, somewhat compete against, you
Well,
know?
it's funny, and I don't know whether you were going to bring this up or not, but you know, Leanna Quigley apparently did not want to be in this film, but did it as a favor, I guess, for
To
David
David
Lynch.
Dakota.
Yeah.
It was she, I don't know if she didn't want to be in this film. I
And who
think
was
it was
she?
such a,
Was she
she
the
was
blonde?
the
Yeah.
assistant, yeah.
Yeah.
Secretary, whatever you want to call
Whatever
her.
body language she was using was certainly body language.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
She
The sexy
originally,
scream queen of the day.
yeah, she was the, yeah, she was in like Return of the Living Dead and, you know, many other movies at that time. So she was a big name,
She's a
and they
hot
just
property.
needed what?
She was a hot property.
Yeah, so they needed somebody like that. So they had her, they had Burt Ward, and they had Scott Spiegel,
The
and
star power of Burt Ward.
at that time, I don't even know if anybody really cared, you know, because like the Batman, you know, he was like their Bela Lugosi, you know, like pay him in peanuts and he'll just do it because, you know, he had nothing better to do that day.
He was Robin on the original 60s TV Batman with Adam West.
Yeah.
So.
And that was sort of a lot of the joke too, because like the there were, you know, he was joking to Linnea Quigley about the fact that it looked like the Batman series. I was like, oh, great. They got Robin talking about Batman. Okay. You know?
All of that stuff was shot as a comedy because everything was very, very, very over the top. And it was a little jarring having that juxtaposed with the violence and the other stuff, even though it kind of came off as a comic book, but it came off as a dark, gritty, bloody, violent comic book, you know?
Well, It's funny to think about because like Scott Spiegel being in this movie, and then a couple years later, Sam Raimi did Darkman, which was also very dark, comic book thing. I wonder if like that sort of somewhat inspired him to want to do that, or whatever, kind of tackle that on after seeing something like Scott Spiegel in Robot Ninja and saying we need to do something better than this, like get out there that way. I don't know. I own Darkman. I have not watched it in forever.
I remember I watched in the theater and I didn't really care for it.
And you might change your mind now,
Yeah, it's been years since I've seen it, so.
Who knows? It might grow on you. I don't know. I haven't seen it in forever either. So I just own it because I try to own everything Sam Raimi does.
Did you guys notice that just about everybody other than Goodnight seemed way, 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 way too young than they should have been? Like towards the beginning, where he's complaining to the quote unquote Hollywood people, the Hollywood people all look like they were like 18 or 19 years old. I did not buy them as
Really?
agents
I would have put them in
or
mid-20s.
producers. None of them looked old enough to be in those positions at all. Like, man, the best you can do is be a night manager at Denny's. Give me a break.
So I found out who those people were, by the way. I watched this little so on the Blu-ray, which I have, there is a like documentary, like a 40-something minute documentary about the making of it. And those guys, those three people were part of a what is it called? Like a community access channel,
Oh, public access.
public access channel TV show called Roommates. And they brought J.R. Buchwalter in for the second episode, right? And everything, and they became friends. And so as sort of repayment, he thought of a cool scene for those guys to be together in a in a scene, and thought put them in there. Yeah, they look a little young, but I would agree with Ramakio. I would have thought 20s, at early 20s, early to mid 20s ish.
Hell, even
And
James
or
L. Edwards looked like he was barely 16.
he probably was. He was very young when Jer discovered him anyway, so this was made like literally right after Dead Next Door, so probably was. That's gonna be my guess.
Ramaka, what did you think of the gag leader? That was one of the interesting things because you generally didn't see a lot of females taking that role, and that was kind of refreshing, I thought. You know,
It was pretty
she was
cool.
tough.
She was terrible as a person. Certainly she was a bad person. But I think it was done pretty well. Like, I like the fact that it was never really addressed that she was a woman. That's something that I appreciate about diversity is when it isn't all about the identity being included. They're just there. And in this, she was just there, which was refreshing.
I would sort of agree with you. I like that because, I always like it when they're just, it's just, it
It's
happens to
not
be a
virtue
woman.
signaling. It's just
Yeah, like it's
is what it
important to
is.
recognize identity in a case of non-inclusion when it's first happening. But then after a while, I think it's also equally important to be like, okay, but just like, generally they're not included because of that identity. They shouldn't be included also because of that identity. They should be included because they're not included. But then what happens next?
Right.
And
Right. Equal treatment is
I think
about
this was
being
pretty good.
treated the same as everybody else.
Right. It shouldn't be each time, each exact time they kind of get treated the same. They need to just, it evolves into every,
Yes. Like,
women
show
and
us what we've
men
been
are
missing out on.
together, doing the same thing.
But,
Yeah, like show us what we've been missing out
she
on and then give us more.
was strong, she was nasty, she was definitely a leader. She was a horrible person, like you said, but that's the basis of what that character kind of needs to be. So I appreciated that. That was one of the good things that I liked about the film. There were a number of good things that I liked about the film. And it kind of reminded me of some other movies that were made later on. Like I was immediately thinking of Kick-Ass, where you have these superheroes that aren't really doing what we expect them to do. They're kind of a little bit worse. And that's an idea that, I mean, James Gunn has worked with that kind of stuff, but that's all been later on. this is 1989, and there aren't a whole lot of other stories or movies or TV shows that addressed it in that way. So I appreciated that. I thought that
Yeah.
was an interesting take.
No, I totally agree with that.
And like most of J.R. Bookwalter's films, I tend to sit there and say, God, I wish somebody had come up with another $25,000 or $100,000 to give these guys, because some of the ideas are really great. It's just the execution, because they didn't have the budget.
I mean, though I do love the go out there and do it yourself and whatever mentality, like we don't have the budget, but let's go shoot this anyway.
We got a camcorder.
Yeah, we gotta, we're gonna shoot this on video and everything like that. That's why I wanted to have Madeline on, and unfortunately we
Madeline would
didn't,
have
but
loved
like
it. Madeline
Madeline would
loves
have loved this
everything.
movie, because it's a shot on video, just fun, goofy, thing to her. To
But it
me,
does rise above the friends and family in the backyard stuff, though. There's more going into it. Just from the special effects and the gore stuff alone, there's a lot more going in. Doesn't always work, but
can we talk about how at one point the news reporter said vigilante?
keep rolling. Yeah, there were
On going.
a bunch of errors that they just kind of allowed to go. The worst was the cop, when he's like staring at the guy, and then all of a sudden something happens and it turns out, oh, he was looking in a completely other direction. Then he's got to turn around and go back. It's like, what were you looking at? It was just really bad. Or how he doesn't really need any kind of probable cause. He just goes into the house, whatever, just snooping around.
Yeah, that's true.
Terrible, terrible cop.
Lots of little bits that, sort of don't really work the way they should, in my opinion. I don't know. It's a movie that, like, this isn't a movie I'm gonna put on all the time or anything, but I do respect that it got made, that
Sure.
they tried something,
And you can't really compare it to, say, a Hollywood, even a low budget Hollywood film, where they have people, like they'll have somebody who's hired there for no other reason than to make sure the continuity is good. They're not going to have stuff like that.
I will say I did very much skip the crime that was happening. I didn't really want to see that, and it seemed like it was going to take a while, so I just sort of
Fast forwarded.
skipped ahead. Yeah. And also the credit scene in the beginning, it was like 15 minutes of credits, and I also skipped that. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
that's the old school way of doing things, because nowadays they don't do that, because it slows down the movie, so
Yeah.
people, like, especially nowadays, people have attention spans like mine, and I can't watch a movie on Tubi that, unless I'm reviewing it or something, but I can't watch a movie on Tubi that that doesn't have 10 minutes is interesting enough, because I've got too much time in my life, to, like, I want to make sure that the first 10 minutes is really good, or something, it hooks me. And when you have main credits, opening credits that take like 8 minutes long or something, like, that's a good amount of your freaking, time. And that might be another reason why they did it, to pad time out. But otherwise it would have been like 1 hour and 10 minutes or something. So,
And it's really kind of weird too. I also have to wonder about our hero's character. What exactly does he want? Does he want to be a vigilante who's righting wrongs, or does he want to be this fantasy, hero that he's created come to life? Because that's kind of the problem, is that he can't do both. If he really wants to be a vigilante, well, shit, just go out there and shoot these punks and be done with it. Why go to the trouble of putting on this stupid costume with this little knife thing and then get your ass kicked repeatedly? That's not really working. And he doesn't seem to learn from it. As a matter of fact, he and just to spoil it, sorry guys, he gets so bummed out that he kills himself over it. It's like, you could have done a better approach there,
Yep, he that's kind of messed up. But he, I don't know, looking back at this movie and the stuff that happens, like, Rimaku talking about the scene, the bad scene that happens in the movie or whatever, and that did go a little
Well,
long. I
I'm
didn't
not talking
really,
irreversible here.
I know.
It wasn't that, but
It is
yeah, I mean,
trigger, like, it's triggering,
yeah.
kind of thing. So I get it. But it's not, it's not nearly as bad as it could have been. But I
That's
just, yeah,
probably
even I
true.
felt very uncomfortable because I don't really like those kind of scenes, in movies. But I get it if you're establishing, yeah, these people are awful. But when you look at a movie like RoboCop, where the movie isn't focused on just one group of bad guys, it's like different people, that he goes after, or whatever. If there's somebody at the, robbing a store, there's somebody doing this, and he stops each. Like, I would have loved to see that instead of them just focusing mainly on like the three or four bad guys that,
Who never change their clothes, even though it takes the place over several days.
Look, when you're a gangster, you have to rep the colors. Only the colors. Only one, only plaid.
Only plaid. I don't know what gangster sign that is, but all right.
I think that's one of those signs that it was shot on a weekend.
It's the plaid lads, the mad lads.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just making up names now, just to make
All
them.
words are made up.
There you
It's
go.
true.
Hey, they got a cop car. I mean, some money went towards that, right?
Right, but it seemed like that was shot in one day too, probably. Because I
Yeah,
feel
that's
like they just had the guy pull up with the car, then take the video of
true.
it, then next do another shot with the, like, it just seemed like it was all in one night, or whatever. So they just, like, was able to return it, Hey, I'm sure cop cars cost some money to rent out, I don't even know
Yeah,
how
those are
you do
real cop
that.
cars.
And can we give a little love to Goodnight? I mean, Goodnight was at least the one guy with his head on his shoulders and saying, "Why are you doing this? Don't do that. Don't be a vigilante. Don't do something stupid like that." It wasn't really supporting him. I mean, I guess he built the suit for him, but he
Yeah,
was
but
going to tell the cops.
it was bold words from a guy whose medicine cabinet looked the way it did.
Oh, it was
Like,
full of,
labels, like
yeah.
crayon labels.
Yeah. He just kind of like left it there. And I guess it was full of amphetamines because that's what he was taking the whole time.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I
Yeah.
don't like it, but it makes sense.
Makes as much sense as anything in this movie. Makes
Well,
sense.
I mean, it makes sense in that weird, stupid comic book kind of way where, in the comic book world, you get a dose of radiation and you develop superpowers. Whereas in the real world, you get a dose of radiation and you die
Die.
horribly.
Wait, so if I'm bit by a radioactive spider, I don't become Spider-Man?
Nope, you
No.
become super dead.
Damn
Damn it.
I
Well, I'll have
know.
to stay away from those radioactive spiders then.
Yeah, watch the HBO series Chernobyl. You'll never want to go near radiation ever again.
Or the new series that's coming out about Fallout.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, apparently that's supposed to be super good.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
I mean, in the Chernobyl one, I mean, you literally, the guy literally turns into pudding. It's really bad.
Oh.
Living human pudding.
Like
It's,
full effluvium?
yeah, it's rough. It's very, very rough. Probably one of the grossest things I've ever seen. And I've seen some shit.
So maybe don't watch that.
Oh,
I
it's
will say
great.
the gore in this film, it was a lot for being not all great. But like even the stuff that was great, it was just a lot to watch happen.
A lot of stuff with eyeballs.
A lot of stuff with eyeballs. So much with eyeballs. Why was there so much with eyeballs?
I guess because it's cool in that sort of, feathered hair Pantera t-shirt kind of way. Plus they could do it. So part of the reason you make a film like that and you put those kind of gags in there is because you're showing people this is what we can do. So I understand that. It was probably a bit too much of it. I sort of get the point. There was a couple of bad squibs there too. The shotgun squib on the one guy was pretty bad, but the other ones were good. So it was mixed, you know? And like Moody said, this was their second film. So for a second time production, you know, I guess it was okay. I guess it was okay.
Yep. And the so the makeup effects was done by David P. Barton, who Paul, you may know as the director of the movie we watched, Dead and Rotting.
And rotting, yeah.
And then there was a few other people, Bill Morrison, Cindy Warren, Susan Ruth-Thaker. They all helped with it as well. So,
And actually, David Duchovny played a character in this.
yes, he did.
Really? Which
He was
character?
the interviewer who was interviewing the one.
Oh, the one who could give the full description but didn't see much.
Yeah, he didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see anything. And that was who was that? Like, that was an actual
Russ Mazzola.
are you sure?
What the Internet Movie Database says.
Okay. There's a lot of freaking people in this movie.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, I mean, for a low budget action flick, I guess,
That's
you
what
know.
I mean. You know, it's like a backyard movie with friends and family on steroids. There's just a lot going on.
There was a lot going on, but it did at least have a clean thread of like plot.
It didn't make much sense, but yes, it was there.
Oh no, the guy who explained the thing, that was Bert, or that was the character's name was Bert Ralston. That was Kenneth J. Hall, who's also a director. So David Dakota and Kenneth J. Hall had that scene together, and he couldn't describe where it was going. Kenneth is the director of Halfway House. So he was
Never saw that.
I think he had done a lot of special effects and other stuff too, just like his brother, Cleve Hall.
And Michael Todd, who plays our hero, he was in the Puppet Master series.
Puppet Master series, yep. And then well, we've got James L. Edwards, who a very young James L. Edwards, who
Who's
plays
been on our
Scully.
show, we're proud to say.
He's been on the yeah, he's been a he's reviewed films. In fact, it would have been interesting to have him review this film, but I don't.
For Patreon only, I think it would be great.
Yeah, maybe at some point for at least one of JR's movies, you know.
Get the inside scoop of how things were going.
I think he does a commentary track with JR on this Blu-ray.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, because I think, yeah, and that's the funny thing. It's like owning the movie is kind of nice because then I can hear all this stuff about the making of it. And a lot of times you can hear why things didn't work out or, you know, get that kind of lowdown on what happened. Because we, as the audience, only see the outcome of the film, but we don't see the making of it. And we don't see, like, if they were supposed to have a you know, an area or whatever, but then they were told no, so they had to go to another area, and that took time, and you know, and so they had a limited time to do the scene, and that's why it looks like that. That's what a lot of indie filmmaking becomes, you know, for real. And I like kind of hearing that stuff because it doesn't justify the stuff necessarily, but it makes you sort of respect it a little bit more, you know.
Be curious to hear about the tales of the dark little two-cop town known as Ridgeway.
I think there was more than two cops.
Maybe.
There was a few, I think, but you didn't really see them much. You only see the couple or whatever, in different times. Oh Lord. Now, like I said, it was neat because they did a lot of they did names of all the different people, like you said. Well, Leonard Miller was Michael Todd, the main guy's name, and I believe, I don't know who Leonard is supposed to be, but Miller, I believe, is supposed to be like Frank Miller, you know,
Okay,
who
that
did
makes
like the
sense.
Dark Knight the Dark Knight series
Right.
of comic books. Dr. Hubert Goodnight. I have no idea if that's a reference to anything. I don't think San Goaty Sanchez. That was the girl's name.
Yeah, Goaty. That's interesting. I don't think I've heard that name before.
No idea.
That was Maria Markovic, and she was in Dead Next Door, and these are the only two movies I believe she was in.
But she was an assistant production coordinator for Deadbeat. She was the production secretary for Amityville, A New Generation.
Okay.
And she was a production assistant for a movie called The Hit List. So she's worked after, this movie. Then there was an Officer Hickox, which was obviously Anthony Hickox's, like a reference to him. Officer Cameron, which was James Cameron. There was a De Palma. When you get to De Palma and stuff, like Cameron, you can kind of get away with because that's very kind of a common name, but like De Palma is not as common. So you're like, there's a Spinell, like Joe Spinell. And that
I
was played
said
by J.R. Buckwalter himself.
there was an actor named Mike Shea who played a character named Rip Him Off.
Yeah, I forgot what he, Rip Him Off. I don't remember what character he was necessarily. I just
Don't
remember seeing that
remember.
name. And then the guy that, Remarkulite, Scott Spiegel's character was Marty Coleslaw. I was like, really? I've never heard Coleslaw as a last name ever. But maybe it's a pen name. I
Yeah.
don't know.
So this reminds me an awful lot of some of the early movies that Todd Sheets has made, frankly, except better made, honestly. Not as good as his later movies, but some of his early movies. That's what this kind of reminded me. And Todd Sheets in his early career really kind of wanted to establish himself as someone who brought a lot of blood and guts and gore and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where this reminded me, because I don't remember any too many of the other Bookwalter movies having as much of the blood and guts and gore in it as this, other than maybe, Dead Next Door. But some of his other movies didn't really do that. They don't really focus on that.
Nope.
So that was another thing I thought was kind of interesting.
Don't know. I agree. I see, this is Remaku's first like introduction to the world of J.R. Buckwalter, I'm pretty sure. Like I'm pretty sure you've never seen anything else that this guy has made.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, so for her, she's a complete newbie, which, to be honest, this is a better movie to be like, complete newbie to. I might even go as far as to say maybe the original Kingdom of the Vampire, because J.R. Buckwalter sort of tried to do something really more serious with it, and Matthew Jason Walsh starred in it and did a pretty good job, but this and like Zombie Cop and a lot of them they used to put them on I don't think they did it for this one, but they would put on a collection of thing called they call Bad Movie Police, right?
That's what I have. There was a double feature. There was a couple of them. There were
Right.
double features, yeah.
And that you have for Robot Ninja?
I have Chick Boxers.
Okay, so they have Chick Boxer, they had like Humanoids from Atlantis or something like that. There is what is it? Galaxy of the Dinosaurs or something, and it is really silly stuff, that like
Hello, Ramaka. We have such treats waiting for you when you come back to Virginia. So much good stuff.
Oh God. You better provide me with snacks if you're gonna make me sit through
Hell yeah.
He'll bring snacks. I mean,
I'll
just
even
ask for
cook for
snacks, it
you.
will be provided.
I'll
I've
even
seen
cook
you.
for
I've
you.
seen you cooking lately. I've
Yep.
seen it.
Good
I've seen it.
stuff.
I've seen the lack of tagging me in the comments saying I will specifically make this for you. And I just want you to know.
I will make anything you want. As a matter of fact, I just made a really yummy soup, and I'm going to do it again for our little Christmas party.
Ooh,
There you
that's
go.
fun. That's
Yeah.
fun. All right, well.
There's definitely a food thing going on with us at Indie Film Cafe. I've had to up Mr. Moody here because he's happy getting, gas station pizza. I'm like, nah,
I
that ain't cutting
love my
it.
7-Eleven
I
pizza.
know you
That's
do. This is
disgusting.
sin.
I don't normally judge people's choice of food, but when I say I'm judging it, I mean like hard judgment.
I don't care. You can judge me all you want about it. I'm
Yeah,
not
I'm gonna judge you in your.
changing my diet
He would
because
be happy if he could eat nothing more than 7-Eleven pizza, Gushers, and Swedish fish all day long and drink Coke.
grocery store ramen. I'm okay with that.
Okay, you know what? Grocery store ramen I can stand behind because I definitely have some in my cabinet right now.
There you
Hey,
go.
that's okay as long as you jazz it up a little bit. If you just have a
Yeah, like you
plain.
have to add in like hot sauce, you have to add in corn, you've got to add in some sort of protein most of the time. Just
Well,
make it a
there you go.
hodgepodge of
I
absolute
did a
gosh
milk-based
darn
one that
crap.
was dynamite. Absolutely dynamite with shrimp. Oh, so good.
Oh, I didn't think about putting shrimp in there because I don't like cooking shrimp because then my whole apartment smells like shrimp.
Oh, well, I'll cook it and my house can smell like shrimp.
Excellent. Excellent. I will eat shrimp cooked elsewhere.
Sweet.
Cooked elsewhere, yeah. Because, well, he's not going to cook it at the studio, so you don't have to worry about that.
I got a big old crock pot. In fact, I got two, so it's
I will
good.
bring venison and I will make the most delicious venison stew you have ever had in your life.
That sounds great.
I don't really
Yeah.
like venison.
You will when I'm done with you.
Okay.
There you go.
All
That is a threat.
right. We've not had the Ramaku cooking experience yet, so I'm very
That
up for
sounds
the
like its
plan.
own like show right there, like Ramaku's
We can
cooking
shoot
experience.
that. We
Yeah,
got the
and now we
studio.
add the seasoning until you hear your ancestor behind you going, ah,
We can
a
totally
warrior,
shoot that.
that's
We have
enough.
the studio. We can shoot that series. Cooking with
Oh,
Ramaku.
holy no.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know. So anyway,
Be fun. I could pester you with a puppet.
I don't think it's pestering. I think she likes it.
I want my own puppet. I
I
want
think
my
they
puppet
like
so I can
that.
pester back.
Okay.
All right. So, I don't know. We're very close to the stinkometer rating, everybody. Almost there. Is there anything else? Like, what did you guys think of the music?
I thought the music was pretty good. I think it was very typical 80s, but I thought it was pretty good.
It was 80s without being like overboard about it, you know?
Well,
One
JR
thing it
book.
was missing for like the big trope is there was no hacker.
JR
Yeah.
Bookwalter did it.
I almost expected this the first time I saw this, it was going to be like typical hair metal, but it kind of wasn't, and I'm glad.
JR Bookwalter did the music, so I think that's pretty cool that he was able to direct, write, produce, and do the music. He did not do the cinematography, thank God. He left that to somebody else, which, as Ramaku explained earlier, that it actually had some pretty good shots in it. So I mean the.
So you're saying he wasn't doing a Neil Breen then?
Like the one shot that I noticed that like stands out to me was like when he was first drawing, and it's just that slow pan out, or not pan out, zoom out. That was pretty good.
I like the ones where they were in the laboratory where the doctor is making the stuff and you're seeing the perspective from below and you're looking up at him and he's doing all this stuff. I thought that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. So
Yeah.
yeah, there were a few good compositions that caught my eye.
Yeah.
Now it says the art director was David Lang. I'm not sure if he's the one who did. Like, I don't know what the art direction for this movie was.
It was
Like,
certainly a direction.
I'm wondering, did that include the art for the actual paintings, or is that like set art?
I don't know. I mean, I think it would include that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the set design seemed a little on the haphazard side, so I don't know.
Well, he was the same art director as the one from Her Name Was Krista.
Oh,
That,
okay.
he used J James used him. So let's see. And the production designer was John Killoff, Killouch. I'm friends with on Facebook.
Hello, something like that.
Killo. And he, I was thinking if it was Kill Off, that's a cool name for like a,
That is kind of cool name.
yeah, John Kill Off, but anyway, he also is a, he's a friend of mine on Facebook. He works with Brad Twigg now, he writes a lot of Brad Twigg stuff. So, if you
Well,
remember hearing about this, but Brad Twigg is a huge, Tempe fan and loved all that stuff. So
Well, the doctor was played by Bogdan Pesek, I think it is. Pekic, Pesek.
yeah, and he's been in a lot of
Dead
Tempe
Next
stuff.
Door, Robot Ninja, Zombie Cop, Maximum Impact, and Chick Boxer. So, yeah, he's been in a few of his movies. I'm not sure what happened to him lately, but he definitely was with the early stuff anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of sad still that JR retired, Like I wish he would come back and just do one more, at least one more movie.
Yeah, that era is just, it's just not around anymore. Other than Troma and Full Moon, there really isn't anybody else out there anymore, you know?
Right. Well, it's more like
And
it
even those
costs
guys,
way.
they've all slowed down.
Yeah. Even Full Moon has changed their, template,
I mean, you've got Asylum and you've got a few other ones out there. They're
But those guys cost money, like serious
yeah.
money. Like these, what he wants is,
Micro budget stuff.
like he is able to do micro budget, but still have,
It's a reflection of the times because that was the time when you made the great leap from film to video cameras. And then once everybody got a video camera, the barriers between people making films in Hollywood and just every Joe Schmo making a movie was removed. And then that happened again when you had the digital revolution and you had digital cameras, and all of a sudden those were available to everybody. And all of a sudden you didn't have to worry about editing nearly as much or other issues because you could digitally do all this. And it broke down barriers. So I imagine there's going to be the same sort of thing. The next technological breakthrough, whatever that's going to be, is once again going to level the playing field, and then you'll have a whole bunch of new people making movies in their backyards and putting it out there for content, because if we've discovered anything in the last decade, it's that content is king and people will put it out there because there's a need for it. And at the very least, you get your movie on Tubi and you'll get your $6 after 10 million views,
100 million views.
Yeah.
Whatever it is now. It's sort of like, yeah, I get that, because like, there's so many streaming channels out there. They all need content, or something. They need more content. And so I get it. And that makes it a little harder, sometimes to like, because everybody has to be cheap, because they're probably not going to make their money back. There's not that many companies out there that will actually pay you what, it used to be where Miramax paid Kevin Smith, a certain amount of money for Clerks, plus more, or whatever, gave him a profit for Clerks, and stuff. That doesn't happen anymore.
Unless you're some idiot who somebody gives them $44 million to make a TV show and they blow it all on cryptocurrency and hot dogs and porn.
Ramak, have you heard about that?
No.
The popcorn and porn thing, I think, is his own, thing,
Embellishment.
embellishment. But no, there was a dude on that, the guy who did 47 Ronin, directed that movie, which I've heard remarkable things about it, but it did not do very well in the box office.
All right.
Though I think it got a lot of flack because like it was Keanu Reeves, playing a samurai or whatever in it. But anyway, the director of that got a chance to do a TV series on Netflix, And they said they'll give him $33 million to make this series. He asked for 11 million more, to make it. And they said, okay, if you're gonna make this that good. He spent that 11 million on cryptocurrency and other stuff to try to get more money so that he could, I guess, make it bigger or make his company bigger. I don't know what he was
Made
doing with
nothing,
it.
basically.
It did not work out.
He didn't make
And he
anything.
never made the movie. And Netflix just kind of wrote it off as like a
Womp,
tax
womp,
write-off.
womp. I
That's a lot of
know.
money to just write off. What?
It's a lot of money to just like write
I know.
off.
Seriously, it's like all I can think of is, if they had given me $500,000, I would have given them a product, maybe not a series. I would have given them a movie, and I would have had it all broken down to the exact penny of what was spent, and they would have gotten it. It would have been complete. But do we get the chance for that? No.
Yeah, somebody who flopped in the box office gets a chance to redo it, and then he still screws up. And if that dude ever gets a chance again, I'm gonna be furious.
Look,
Like,
it's a nepotistic circle jerk in Hollywood, and we all know it, and that is what it is. But luckily, with the advent of cameras that are accessible to people at reasonable prices and have reasonable results for those prices, we are breaking down those barriers, and more stories are being able to be heard through various platforms. And honestly, I think that Hollywood is on its way out. I really do. And the reason I think that is because I'm seeing people make straight up better content and circumvent all of these production companies and all of these distribution companies. And I think that it's a mix. It's like a battle between the independent individual filmmaker and Hollywood trying to save themselves because their nepotistic circle jerk didn't work out, so they're trying AI. It's just not going to work. I think we're better than that, maybe, possibly.
Well, that's why I'm glad the writers and actors are winning those strikes, because they need to be brought back to earth.
Well, I talked to somebody who's a big part of SAG, and I asked him if the SAG deal that they got, that they've all finally agreed on and it's got ratified just like a couple days ago, if he was happy with it. And he said he was like 50 something ha percent happy with it. Like, he was 54%, like, and the biggest, but he said the beautiful thing is it's only for 2 years right now, the contract. After 2 years, they're gonna see what Hollywood is doing with AI and everything, and if that turns out to be like worse than what they're fearing, they're gonna strike again and try to, get more money. So, or like
Yeah.
get like or get the AI out of there,
Yeah, it's a
or
bad
whatever.
situation, especially from the writing point of view, because, intuitively you might think it's a bad thing because AI is not going to be able to write anything good. It's just parroting back crap. But then you look at Hollywood movies and that's all just poorly written stuff that's parroting back crap. They're not really interested in having or paying really good writers to produce really good, original, interesting content.
But
That's
this
not
comes
what
from
they
a
want.
dude who like writes all these in-app things into ridiculous stories that you're just like so happy to show
Okay.
off
I
or
love to
whatever.
tease the chat GBT thing. It's fun.
I know you're like, write me if you had asked to write a story about a robot ninja,
Penguin.
penguin
I'm gonna
from
pull up
hell,
ChatGPT right now and see what it does if I do that. Hang on.
Robot Ninja
Oh
Penguin
wait,
from
you're gonna about
Hell
to
is
do that
fun.
into
Yep.
chat.
Okay, what am I saying? Write a short script about a robot ninja versus a plaid gang. There we go. We're just gonna do that. Steel Shadow versus the Tartan Terror. Dear God. Scene one, dusk in Neo Tokyo. And it's just there's a sleek humanoid robot ninja bot X9. And there's a voiceover. It says, Neo Tokyo. Wait, I'm gonna do this dramatically. Neo Tokyo, a city of light and shadow. And in its shadows lurk the Tartan Terror. a gang cloaked in plaid and chaos. Oh my God. The leader's name is Mac Madness.
Nice.
Yeah. It's
The leader of the gang of plaid people? Oh.
Yep, and the last thing before it fades to black, that's the ending, fade to black, is justice prevails, but the night is long, and the battle never truly ends in Neo Tokyo.
Neo
There you go.
Tokyo?
Yep, it's Neo Tokyo, and it decided that they're all in traditional Scottish attire and a mishmash of that in cyberpunk gear.
I'm picturing plaid kimonos.
Well, it's traditional Scottish attire, so it already doesn't match, but it's Neo Tokyo, so I imagine it's far more diverse.
Okay.
Oh my
I'm thinking
goodness.
samurais with bagpipes now.
I mean, the first thing that he says out loud is, "Your reign of terror ends tonight." And then, "You'll never defeat the Tartan terror robot. You haven't seen the last of me." As the police arrive to arrest the gang.
Robot, I have a name, you know.
N
I hate to
Ninja
say
Bot
this.
X9's advanced martial arts against Mac Madness's brute force. He ends up disarming him and pins him down. It's a very bad script.
This is worse. This is worse than Robot Ninja itself,
You should see some of the ones that I came up with that I've been tormenting Moody with. They've been fun.
Oh, some of them are, but they're just ridiculous, but they're, but see, that's the thing. People think like AI is going to be easier to help out, and maybe it is for some certain jobs that people have, where they don't have to write out a whole bunch of stuff. They can just, but it's, isn't this like glorified, I don't know, copying somebody else's test,
I mean, it
or
is
something?
kind
A little
of,
bit.
but think about it this way. One of the ones I made ChatGPT do was, one of the villains had to be named Ku Klux Klam, and he was going to lead an army of evil clams. And the ChatGPT wrote on that, but he's not, it's not going to come up with that. A human had to come up with that idea. It wrote it, but only because I told it to do that.
And it wrote it based on other things it's seen in the internet, right? Like everything is not, it's not original. And yeah, so the AI is completely un, if a robot ninja were to take over the world, like this, that script right there would not work. Like that's, the script just makes no sense, and everything. I don't know.
And
Just
Ku Klux Klan was like, it has like a little white hood and a beard and little feet. It was leading an army of evil clams. It was funny. I liked it.
right. Well, on that note, I guess that's about, does that for that. So let's get into the stinkometer, and I'll share with you guys all what the stinkometer is. If Remako, I'm sure you remember the stinkometer. But for folks who may, this may be your first time or whatnot, basically
Poor
the
people.
stinkometer is a scoreboard from 1 to 10, one being very good and 10 being very, very stinky. And think like, if you had a bad smell, like, you smelled a lot of shrimp in your house,
A lot
and it
of
was really
rotten shrimp.
bad, rotten shrimp, how stinky would it be? It would be 10,
Right.
so
Although we do love
stinkiest.
our stinky movies here at Indie Film Cafe. Usually the higher number also reflects the number of problems that we encountered in the film.
And we also have a 0.5 system, so if you want to give it a 5.5 or 4.5 because you can't decide whether or not to go with a
Yes.
5 or a 6.
We're all subtle.
Yeah, so go right ahead. So, with that being said, Paul, why don't you go first?
Well, when I first saw it, I probably would have given it like a 9, but it's grown on me a little bit over time, and even though it's pretty stinky and crappy, there's enough things in there that make it interesting enough for me or make it stand out that I got to give it a little bit more credit So I think I'm going to go with an 8.5. I think that's my final feeling. There's definitely some stinky crap involved in it, but there are also bits and pieces that I really liked and really appreciated. And again, if only these guys had gotten a larger budget, I think some of the other ideas that they hinted at or tried to do, they would have been more successful at, and I think would have made a better movie. But then you could say that about just about any film,
Right.
and you make the movie the way you can with what you've got, and I get that. It's just and I like the fact that they're ambitious. Ambition is a good thing. I just wish that there had been enough to sort of back it up. But yeah, an 8.5 is what I'm going to go with.
What about you, Romaku?
I didn't find this one very stinky at all. I mean, it was a cringe to get through, but compared to some of the other ones y'all have subjected me to,
Well, you had two reflections of evil.
I was going to say it better not be hot chicks blast Uranus.
you lured me in with snacks and I stayed because it was a train wreck and I couldn't stop watching it. This one, there were no snacks. I am offended, but that being said, I would honestly rate this pretty low. I would pray like on the it wasn't very stinky at all. I put it at like a five. Five and a
Five.
half.
Okay.
Which one, 5 or 5.5?
I'm gonna say five. I'm gonna be generous, and the reason I'm gonna be generous is because some of the shots were really nice.
Okay.
Nice.
I think that's fair. I'm gonna give it a 6.5. It's a movie I've seen a bunch of times. It's not that stinky compared to like Zombie Cop, which got a 10 or got a
Yeah,
30.
no.
You know, like that movie was cringy, and hard to sit through with other people, or whatever. This movie I could show people. I mean, it's R-rated, not PG-13 or anything, which is good. A lot of movies were like, especially like The Punisher had come out around that time and things like that. They were trying to do R-rated superhero movies, vigilante superhero movies at that time. So I get it and I liked it. It just, it had some really cool bits to it, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been. So I agree with Romaku, but I'm still gonna go a little higher on the stink,
Yeah,
because
I still can't forgive some of the dialogue, some of the lapses of reality, like with the tubing in the arms and the plate in the arms
the
and
zombies. What were the zombies?
was that his dream or something?
I think he was just
Yeah.
having an overdrugged
It was a dream
moment.
sequence.
Yeah, it was just a weird random dream, so I don't know.
He
Didn't make any
also
sense to the movie.
coughed a lot of blood. Did you notice that? Like a
Usually when he
lot.
caught
Oh my God, why was he drooling so much blood?
Again, it was effect to show off.
yeah, that's what I was gonna say, is like it's literally just they probably just thought it was a cool effect, and stuff. But when you really think about it, you're like, you're doing that much, you probably need to go to the hospital, dude. Like, whether or not you want to, because you think you'll be arrested,
And here's a question that we didn't really ask, and I don't really quite know the answer to. Why does he kill himself?
I think it's because, first of all, he predicted it, but second of all, he didn't like finish the thing that he was doing in his it, he didn't do the comic right. So maybe he was just kind of done.
Maybe.
Also, like, frankly, what future was he gonna have? Like, I think is what he was thinking. Like, I just killed all these people, everybody hates me, and I'm going to jail. Psych.
Yeah, maybe.
I guess.
Maybe.
Like at that point, I think like they were probably just thinking, what's like the worst thing that could happen to this dude? It's just like, I'm just gonna take myself out.
Or I move to another city somewhere else and start over. I have talent. Ridgeway is not the whole world.
Or, like, I mean, he got rid of everybody you need to get rid of at that time. Like, he could have probably just got fixed up and then, lived, but I guess he didn't want to. Maybe he just didn't enjoy the fact that Hollywood was ruining his comic and turning it into like a campy TV show,
And
and
I'm guessing he was a seriously flawed character to begin with, so it makes sense. I just, motivate. I just was worried about the motivation to it. But it's the sort of thing I would never do. I would find any other way to approach stuff, but then I'm not that guy, so.
Sir Marco, we'll be excited if you come back to Virginia. And
Stoked, absolutely stoked.
I'm excited too.
yeah, that'll be fun. We can
Yeah.
have you back in the studio. More snacks.
More
More
snacks.
snacks.
More snacks. Yes.
So
We will
that'll.
feed you happily to make up for the movies we're about to show you.
Thank you. I
Especially
appreciate it.
fungicide. I'm dying to show you fungicide. I think you would quite love it. And roller gator. Gotta show you roller gator.
Roller Gator.
Oh yeah.
Oh
He's already
Lord.
talking
about movies that we already showed
I
for
cannot
Indie
wait.
Film Cafe, so this must
I
be
cannot wait.
Patreon only or something.
Well, we don't necessarily have to record these. I think it would be fun sometimes just to see, hang out,
Yeah,
watch
just
the
to watch
movies.
it.
Yeah, eat some snacks. I'm just dying to hear your perspective on some of these films.
I'm gonna have so many thoughts. So many
For
thoughts.
sure. Well, thank you so much. And everybody else, hope you guys enjoyed this. Join us next week where we'll have one of Paul's episodes. So who knows what Paul's gonna inflict on us today.
Bunch of evil clams.
Maybe. Was it Cammy the Clam?
Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, Ku Klux. All right, whatever. All right, anyway, everybody. Thank you guys for watching or listening.
GG.
Talk to you guys
Bye
soon. Bye.
bye. And the chicken.